We did well on the initial launch. That brought in a little over $1 million on that. So that's in a 48-hour span to bring in $1 million in revenue is always good.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Awesome Inc.'s podcast, where we highlight people pursuing their definition of, you guessed it, awesome. So buckle up and get ready for some more success story adventures and failures from Kentucky's tech and entrepreneur community. Hey, y'all, thanks so much for tuning into this episode of the Awesome Inc. podcast. I am sitting down across the table and the computer with my good friend Chris Wiedmar out of Louisville, Kentucky. And this is not going to be an episode where we cover all of his story. Again, he pitched at Five Across in 2022, won the February events, and then competed in the 2022 finals and was runner-up. So if you want to hear more about Chris's story at a base level, please check out our previous episode. We're going to jump right into Chris and Party Horses and where they are currently and hear about their time in the fellowship and their company growth, which we're really excited for. So, Chris, thank you so much for taking the time and joining us today. Stoked for the updates and to hear what's going on with your team.
Yeah, Garrett, I appreciate it, man. And as always, thank you to you and the Awesome Inc. team. You guys run, a first-class organization. And this isn't me just, kissing up to you because we're on the podcast again. But, I tell you that all the time, how you guys run, whether it be, the pitch competitions, the demo days, just the, the one-on-ones every day, the networking, to me, it's you guys do it right. And so for us, we're thankful to be, a part of what you guys are building. And even though it's just a small piece, but, we've gotten tremendous value out of it so far, whether it just be, at the competitions and sharing our story and what we're looking to do. And just even that has opened doors where, you mentioned we came in second in the finals, which was, we always want to win, but it was still great exposure for us to where, I think you guys asked me to do an interview with the news station before it started. I think I met four different people afterwards from different walks of life. One wanted to invest and we're not even really raising, outside money to just people that could help from a network perspective. So, first and foremost, thank you guys for all that you all do at Awesome Inc. And as I'll always say, whenever you're all ready to stand up a Louisville office, I will be your biggest supporter. So just know that. But like I said, Party Horses is definitely thankful and grateful to you guys to be a part of the fellowship program right now. We're still in the early stages of it. As far as where we are, and I'm actually excited. We've got an all group meeting tomorrow. We'll go over metrics for Q1 and stuff like that. And so to me, it's been a lot of fun. Sharing our story, but I think more importantly, just the people that I've met, either in your all's organization or the four other companies that are in the fellowship program with me right now. We're all, we talk, we email, text with a few of the guys, because at the end of the day, we've talked about it before, being in a startup is fun and great, but it can also be really lonely. And just the trials and tribulations you go through and things of that nature. So, it's good to have another group of people that are living that with you, and that you can kind of share and commiserate with a little bit. So yeah, man, it's been a fun few months since we last chatted, on the podcast, but, things are going well, man. Things are going well.
Well, I feel like I could almost end. You covered so much right there. Well, yeah, again, Chris, appreciate all the kind words. And I think knowing how a founder like you has come to our organization, you applied to Five Across, you participated, you knocked the socks off. Let's just call a spade a spade. You did an exceptional job. To then see, hey, the real heartbeat behind our organization is to invest, to build relationships and help grow startups, startup teams, and really the value they add to people. And you are a prime example of someone who has, you dove in headfirst and you're just saying, yes, how can I grow? Yes, hold me accountable. Yes, stretch us. So, real quick, a couple questions right off the bat. Can you really briefly talk about what Party Horses is? And then from a yearly perspective, talk about the changes that have happened in the industry that your team is currently working in.
Yeah. So Party Horses, when we started it, right now, you and I are talking in early January 23. We really, I would say, almost officially kicked off as a company about a year ago in January 22, I think is when we officially stood up, our articles of incorporation, all that kind of fun stuff. And so, you know, initially what Party Horses started out as, and in the time that we started out, it started off as an NFT project. And really what we wanted to do with the NFT is, at the time, it was a really big market in the Web3 and the NFT space. And you saw these Bored Apes getting sold for millions of dollars. But to us, there was no real rhyme or reason to it, right? It was, you know, it was a cool a digital picture of art of, you know, a monkey or something, but there was nothing really backing it up to add value. And we wanted to really shine a light on Kentucky and what we're known for, right? And so for us, we wanted to create digital art in regards to an NFT if the horses went to the racetrack to watch the humans race. So we've got different tiers of horses and art, and from, you know, trillionaires row horses to horses that belong on the backside in the infield and everything in between. And Robbie Davis is the artist on our team who created this art. And it's a little different art than just like, hey, he hand drew these 3,000 horses. Essentially what happens is he partners with our lead engineer, Isaac Pratz. And what they do is they say, hey, we want to create X amount of horses that are wearing a hat, X amount of horses that are wearing a dress and this and that. And so once we kind of have that rarity curve and that formula built out, what Robbie really does is just kind of, he designs the artifacts and what the items are. And then we put that formula in, and Isaac has the code, and really essentially the engineering is what spits out the art. It's kind of crazy. So that's what we started as. And it was really cool art, but we also said, hey, we want some real utility to back it up. And we said, what else is Kentucky known for? And it's obviously horse racing and bourbon. And we partnered with Maker's Mark to where everyone that bought one of these NFTs gets a rare Maker's Mark bottle to come with it. And so we did. We'll end up doing, I think, 10 different bottles with them over the past 12 months. Some that are out of 100, and some that are out of 1,000. So, you know, you've got this interesting Venn diagram of people that are into Web3 and crypto and NFTs and bourbon collectors. And so it's been a fun mix of that. Now, with that, we also wanted to incorporate in-person events. So we threw a big derby party. We've had a number of happy hours and meetups through Lexington, Cincy, Louisville, regionally, and then also, you know, throughout the U.S. So for us, we've built a really strong community. You know, the NFT was the first part of the business, and that's still going strong. You know, we went through, you know, a pretty big bear market, you know, A, just in the traditional markets, and B, in the web and crypto markets as well. But ours has actually been able to retain value, which, you know, 92% of other projects, you know, have fallen off and died. And so we've held strong. But like I said, from the get-go, we didn't just want it to be strictly an NFT project. We see this going a couple different ways. And really the North Star for us is a company like Red Bull, right? That has their hands in a bunch of different things. That's an authentic, almost irreverent kind of brand that pushes the envelope and has fun with life. And so that's something that we aspire to be. And we're, you know, I think with going into year two, we'll be able to start moving in that direction. We, you know, year one was solely focused around the NFT, and it was a great success. Year two, we're going to keep rewarding that and keep building on that. But there's also a couple other areas that we'll start looking into from a business perspective that I think will, like I said, that'll get us a couple other different opportunities, and we're excited about that. So yeah, we'll make more of an official announcement on that. That's not a tease. I apologize, but there's just a couple other things we got to hammer out with the attorneys and all that kind of fun legal stuff. But we should have some interesting announcements coming up, I'd say, in the next 2 to 3 months. But like I said, we'll still continue to have really cool bourbon, really cool events. And like I said, there'll be some more things coming, I would say, from the merchandise and spirit side of things.
Sweet. One of the things that you mentioned is you guys threw a massive derby party. And I know I've talked with a couple of the team, the founding members, about what the work you guys have done. Can you say, from a product standpoint, why is it important to build community around what you guys did? And not just community of, hey, like, these are people that support our business, but hey, we actually do things in person with people. And you mentioned Kentucky, with people from our state and from outside of our state. Why was a monumental experience like that so important for you guys in year one?
I think it's big too. Like I said, to kind of go back to, you know, we came out of COVID, and then, you know, these NFTs and these crypto and Web3 communities were spinning up, you know, all throughout the world, really. But the one thing they were missing outside of, you know, like I mentioned on the utility side, the other thing I think they were missing was around real life meetups and events, right? It's one thing for me to know Garrett online. It's another thing for me and you to sit down and, you know, have a beer and you know, do a high five and actually get to know you in the real world. And so, so to us, it's important, you know, not just the big Derby party. That was fun. I mean, we had people that flew in. I think it was three different countries that people flew in from, which is kind of wild. And then, you know, but also just the in-person, you know, we'll host happy hours and meetups. Like we had one in New York City and we had over 60 people that showed up, did one in LA. We had about 20 to 30. And then, like I said, obviously the ones that we have more locally, in Kentucky, we bring out a big number. And so it's cool because you mentioned community, you know, for us, it's a wide variety of people that are part of Party Horses as well. Right. It's not just dudes that like bourbon or people that like football. I mean, it's people that like games, people that are engineers. I mean, it's, you'd be surprised the variety of, you know, girls and guys that are a part of this community. It's really interesting to see the diversity and who's a part of it. And I wish there was some kind of single unifier that I could say, oh, it's the art. Oh, it's the bourbon. It's the events. But it's kind of like you throw all that into a blender and that's what we got.
Yeah, that's great. Well, Chris, I want to know one thing. So you mentioned, again, competing in Five Across. You've talked about how you've grown pretty well over the last year. Can you real briefly talk about some of the key metrics that your company has completed or maybe milestones that you've hit over the last year? Because I want to transition for the rest of this time to talk about why are you a part of the Awesoming Fellowship? Why are you hoping to scale? How are you going to scale? And it'd be great to get a foundation of what y'all have achieved thus far. And then, you know, for where you guys want to go over the next calendar year. So would you mind to real quickly touch upon some of the things that you guys have accomplished?
Yeah. So, you know, the metrics in this space are a little different when you're talking about NFTs and what people kind of gauge success on. So for us, we sold a little over 3,000 of our NFTs. You know, and so really how you make money as a company is you make it off the initial sale and then you make it off secondary sales. So we did well on the initial launch. You know, that brought in a little over $1 million on that. So that's in a 48-hour span to bring in $1 million in revenue is always good. You know, we made money as well off of, if you own the NFT, we also dropped you tickets to the Derby event. So if you couldn't make it, you could sell those on a secondary market, right? So we made money off that as well. And our users made money off of that, which is pretty cool. And then really, like I said, you know, we haven't seen the secondary sales, like I've mentioned before, mainly because folks have retained, their NFTs and haven't sold them. So there hasn't been a lot of secondary sales, which is great because it shows people care about what they've got. But, you know, in a weird way, that doesn't help from the revenue side. But all in all, we did a little over $2 million in revenue last year, which was great. And, you know, we're excited about that. It's something that, you know, from a goal standpoint, it's something we were shooting for and we hit. You know, the other key piece I was talking about too, like I said, I think it's one thing to have growth and sales. It's another thing, in my opinion, to have retention, right? Anytime you're in a business development or a sales organization, you don't want people to come and leave. You want them to stay. And I think our community is a big reason why, you know, we've seen that crazy retention number and not a lot of people getting out of the community and the project. So that's been exciting. You know, key metrics, trying to think of the big key metrics that we were focused on. You know, really the other big thing too, that was really important to us was to get net new people into the space. People that have never, maybe they've heard of NFTs, maybe they were curious. And so for us, there's not really a scientific way to ask, but, you know, just going off the amount of people we've talked to and have shared their story with us, I'd say we've brought, you know, well over a few, you know, probably closer to 500 people that have never been in this Web3 NFT space. And they got into it through our project, which was pretty cool.
I think it's interesting that you can watch a show like Shark Tank and you hear companies pitch to, you know, some of the most accomplished entrepreneurs that have come from our country. And, you know, a company will say, hey, you know, we had $300,000 in recurring revenue last year. We hit this thing and we hit this. And it, to me, is just very cool. It's just plain old cool that a company from Kentucky can say, hey, within 1 year of business, we had about $2 million that we hit in revenue. And
again, Garrett, to build on that, I would even add, you know, and it's not just a regular business either, right? I mean, you're talking about some of the most cutting edge technology.
Yep.
When you're talking blockchain technology, Web3. So, you know, I think it shows that not only did we build a cool company, yes, I agree with that, but it's also that, like, look, man, like, you can build really cool stuff from a tech perspective in Kentucky. It doesn't have to be in California or New York or Austin or Boston. Like, you can do that. We did all this in Louisville, Kentucky. You know what I mean? It doesn't have to be on the coast. You can do these things in our own backyard. I mean, our whole team was in Kentucky. So yeah, I mean, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I think it's important to get that point across as well, man.
Yeah, Chris, I couldn't agree with you more. And hearing the fact that your entire team in this, I'll use the word revolutionary just to kind of add some effect. In industry, they're not on the coast, they're not in New York, they're not in LA. And again, you have partnerships there and people might have some more influence or some more, help potential business growth that you partner with there. Great. But everyone's local. And I think that's a really cool thing because Kentucky, again, just has more to offer than I think people realize. And maybe even they want to realize. And that's something that gets me excited, knowing we have awesome, awesome startup founders like yourself and many other people that have come through our fellowship program that are just proving, hey, Kentucky is more than barefoot people, basketball, bourbon, and horse racing. And I say that line actually quite a bit on this show, but when I go meet people for the first time, even college students, professors, or people that come to maybe a Five Across for the first time, and I ask, hey, where are you from? And they'll say, Indiana or Ohio or, Virginia, somewhere else. And I think, what's your first impression of Kentucky? They'll say something along those lines of, oh yeah, like, I thought people would be barefoot here and y'all are hicks. And it's like, no, we actually have really cool startup companies that are making some awesome technology and products from our state. So let's talk about the fellowship. Chris, I know that it's a pretty extensive program. You guys applied. I know Keith and you have had a really solid relationship for the last year or so. And I want to know this. Why did you find it valuable to invest your company's time into a program like the fellowship? And then also, what is the return that you are hoping to gain from this experience? This year-long journey of walking alongside a handful of other Kentucky founders and walking alongside maybe a new network and some mentorship to get some outside perspective for company growth.
Yeah, I mean, I think when Keith and I talked about it, it was a no-brainer for us to get involved. I mean, I think anybody on our team will echo kind of the sentiment that you were just talking about, Garrett, of we want to see Kentucky win. And I'm not saying party horses is a component in that, but it's a small piece. And I think the more, it's almost kind of like a Power Ranger, right? The more groups, small companies that can get together, as a whole, and like I said, we're not together every day, but I have access to all these people, the better it is for the greater good. And so that was step one for me. It was like, look, man, like we need Kentucky to win, and we need to keep shouting to the rooftops all the cool things we're doing. And I think you guys are one of the best megaphones for that. And so to me, it was a no-brainer. You guys are, a group and an organization that I've followed for a long time, and just the reputation that you guys had was really not a hard sell. Going back to what makes the fellowship so great, a little bit, like I said earlier, right? You're with other people. And the cool thing is too, they're groups and companies that aren't even in the same space as us, but they have similar challenges that I might have, whether it be, how do we get people to our website, or, how do we get more engagement on Twitter? Just picking things like that, every business is going to have similar problems. And so, to me, going back to my consulting days, I almost felt like when I was consulting with different technology executives, they almost got more value out of talking to other groups that weren't in their space, right? So Yum Brands got more value out of talking to the team over at Humana versus talking to Texas Roadhouse. And so to me, it's no different, right? Like, you guys are great talent aggregators. I think you guys are really, really great talent aggregators of knowing good companies to look out for and scout and bring in. And so for me, part of it is I trust you guys that you're all bringing in other, people that are ambitious, that want to push the needle, want to move Kentucky forward. And so it's something, like we talked about before, it can be lonely as a startup. And so to be able to be in with other groups that want to keep moving forward and can add value, right? I mean, it's not just, just the people. It's also, you guys incorporate a lot of things that people might not be aware of, from whether it be free legal advice to design and engineering to a plethora of things that you guys bring to the table as well. So, that are included with the fellowship, that are included with the fellowship is exciting to me. So, I think really, to sum it up, the people that you guys, are at Awesome Inc., the teams and other organizations that you guys bring in from a company standpoint. And then I think you guys have good structure and process in place that, hey, if we all hold each other accountable, that, when we look up a year from now, we've all gotten some wins, and we're ready to take that next stage and wherever that company is. Everybody's going to be in different parts of a startup, but you should be moving forward. And I think, um, I think the accountability piece is a big part of what you guys bring as well, in a good way. Like I said, you're not breathing down people's necks. You're not checking in with me every 10 seconds. It's a good cadence. But it's also like, yeah, I need to, you know, I probably let this slip a little bit. And if I didn't have Keith on my butt, you know, that's something I would let slip through the cracks, and, you know, now I'm held accountable for it. So, don't know if that's the answer you're looking for, but that's a big reason why, you know, I think we got involved.
Yeah, that's great. One of the things that you said is, Keith slipped through the cracks and he's on your butt. So let's just make sure that Keith stays off your butt crack.
I'll let you have fun with that editing.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, man, it's valuable to hear that you realize there's a lot to gain from having, you know, people in different industries. I think that's something that is often very, very much appreciated once you've experienced that. But, you know, initially you're like, why would I want someone who doesn't have, you know, an NFT? Why would I want to be with somebody that is building a physical product? Or why would I want to be with someone who's in the healthcare, you know, space? But it's cool to hear that you realize, hey, we're all in the same fight, so to speak, maybe just with a different focus, but we're all gaining very similar skill sets or things to add to our company. And Chris, I know you mentioned Keith being a vital piece of the mentorship and the accountability. What are maybe one or two pieces of advice that you've gotten that have really helped you guys over the last few months? And what are one or two of the goals you're hoping to complete from the time that you join the fellowship to the time that you graduate on the next demo day?
Yeah, I think, you know, and once again, we're still fairly early on in the process, but I think one thing that I think was hammered home that you guys do a good point of getting across is to, you know, utilize the resources and the people that you guys have put time and effort in to bring to the table, right? Like I mentioned before, whether it be legal or design, and you know, a lot of startups don't understand how hard it is to find a designer to help on something or to find legal help. And so to me, I think making sure to really, you know, really, you know, everything that you guys have brought to the table to take advantage of, right? There's a reason that you all have stood up these certain groups to come in, because I think you guys know the right recipe, right? So, hey, if you utilize all these resources, there's a good chance you're going to have better success than if you don't, right? And so I think taking advantage of that. I think the other piece that was, you know, that we talked about quite a bit was utilize the network, right? Awesome Inc's done a great job of building a good network, both of, you know, people in the program, but, you know, you guys also run the Entrepreneurship Hall of Fame, and, you know, you're all not afraid to introduce us to, you know, the right person at the right time, and to not be afraid to ask for that, right? And so fortunately for me, I've never been afraid to ask for invites or introductions. And I know, you know, my piece of advice, you know, take it for what it's worth, for other people in the program who are thinking about it, is to not be afraid to ask for that. You know what I mean? I have no issue texting Keith and being like, hey, man, I see you're connected with this guy. Can you broker an intro? Done. You know what I mean? And it's like, you know, that guy could have just saved me, you know, 6 weeks of work because he's subject matter expertise in the problem I've got right now. And so, yeah, I think leveraging the network and then leveraging the resources that you guys bring to the table would be, you know, my biggest two takeaways so far, you know, within the program. The second question I think was around goals, for the next few months. Yeah. I think for us, it's really, you know, and we can touch on it more. We're going to be pivoting our business a little bit. And so for me, it's getting in there and talking to people that have gone through, you know, within the organization of some big pivots and what that looks like and the best way to structure some things. So not necessarily the sexy stuff, but some of the more operational stuff. But that's the beauty of being in the fellowship is I already know there's three people off the top of my head that are, you know, that I can reach out to right away when I'm ready to talk to them. That'll be, you know, I can hit go. So I think once again, leveraging those people that can kind of help us get to that next phase and that next pivot are going to be crucial in the next 3 months. And then, you know, I think a little more long term for us, I think, you know, from a goal standpoint, it's just going to continue to be growing in exposure and getting our name out there. And so that's going to be a big thing. And I know there's people within the group that we can get much more specific when I kind of drill into what I mean by that. But I know for a fact, like I said, there's already, you know, folks internally and externally that are even in some of the other companies that are in the group that we've already been kind of brainstorming areas that we could, you know, that there's overlap and using similar strategies and what works and whatnot. And so that to me is what makes it fun, where you're not sitting there by yourself and trying to recreate the wheel. You got people that are in different phases and have probably gone through some of the challenges you might have. So that's what the next few months looks like for us. But like I said, at the end of the day, we're pretty excited about it.
That's great, man. Well, Chris, we'll go ahead and wrap up here. Again, appreciate your time. And for the last thing, just want to say that we're excited for your company. We're excited for your growth. To hear that you as a seasoned entrepreneur know, hey, we realize we have to make a pivot. And even though it might not be sexy, it might be frustrating. You mentioned working with lawyers earlier. That's the stuff that you have to do to keep your business afloat. And so just kudos to you for making the time, making the effort, putting your head down and getting the work done. So we're excited to see how Party Horses grows over the next calendar year. And Chris, last thing before we sign off, where can people go to either find more about Party Horses or maybe even sign up to be a customer? Can you share that with them?
Yeah. Easiest place to start is just partyhorses.com. From there, you'll see where we are on Twitter and LinkedIn and all the fun socials. The other big place that we play is in Discord, which is new to a lot of people. But if you're not familiar with it, just kind of think of your old AOL chat room days mixed with message boards. And that's kind of Discord. So that's where a lot of the day-to-day action happens. But no, I mean, we'll continue to grow and expand in other verticals. But right now, that's the best place. And we'll be doing a site refresh here in the next few weeks as well. So it'll be cleaned up a little bit and be able to share kind of what our 23 goals and vision are as well. So, but yeah, partyhorses.com. And that'll take you to all the other places you can find us.
That's great. Well, Chris, thanks for time. And for those of you listening, make sure that you check out awesomeinc.org or our socials at awesomeinclex to continue to find great stories of entrepreneurs like Chris and the Party Horses team. And Chris, we'll see you here soon. Thanks for the time, brother.
Awesome. Appreciate it, Garrett. Thanks as always, buddy.
Well, that's it, guys. Thank you so much for checking out this episode of Awesome Inc's podcast. And another quick thank you to Lee Rosevier and a few members from our community who provide the music that you hear in this show. Lastly, give us a follow on Instagram, Facebook, all that jazz. Or even better, come on down to our space. Come be a part of our community and get plugged in, and let's start something awesome together. You guys rock. We'll see you next time.